pulled over in a traffic stop and beaten by the side of the road, placed in a banned chokehold by a New York City police officer, violently taken into police custody, never to come out alive, shot first, questions asked later. The stories and images that immediately leap to mind in connection with these scenes are those of Black men, Rodney King, Eric Garner, Freddie Gray, Philando Castile. But these are also the stories of Black women. Women like Sandra Antor, pulled over and brutalized on Interstate 95 in 1996 by a South Carolina state trooper in an incident captured on video 5 years after images of Rodney King's beating sparked a national uprising. Women like Roseanne Miller, placed in a chokehold in 2014 by a New York City police officer when she was 7 months pregnant, just weeks after police choked Eric Garner to death on camera using one. Women like Alicia Thomas, repeatedly kicked and beaten by a Los Angeles police officer in 2012 while handcuffed in the back of a police cruiser. Like Freddie Gray's, the injuries she sustained in police custody proved fatal. Women like Maya Hall, a Black trans woman shot dead by police after making a wrong turn onto National Security Agency property outside of Baltimore, just weeks before Freddie Gray's case rocked the city and the nation. Yet Black women's experiences of profiling and often deadly force remain largely invisible in ongoing conversations about the epidemic of racial profiling, police violence, and mass incarceration in the United States. Since the Ferguson uprising of 2014, the Black Lives Matter movement and the call to lift up Black women's stories of police violence under the rubric of Say Her Name have forced increased attention to these experiences. In the words of Black Lives Matter co-founder Alicia Garza, Black Lives Matter affirms the lives of Black queer and trans folks, disabled folks, Black undocumented folks, folks with records, women, and all Black lives along the gender spectrum. It centers those that have been marginalized within Black liberation movements. In this context, Black women, long the backbone of efforts to resist state violence, are insisting that we will no longer only play the role of a grieved mother, girlfriend, partner, sister, daughter, or invisible organizer, and demanding recognition that we too are targets of police violence. Nevertheless, Black women's experiences of racial profiling, the use of deadly and excessive force, sexual violence at the hands of police, and mass incarceration remain largely uncharted territory. In some ways, the experiences of Indigenous, Latinx, Asian, Arab, Middle Eastern, Muslim, and South Asian, AMEMSA, women, are even further off the map. Invisible No More brings them all to the center, placing individual women's stories into broader contexts and identifying commonalities and distinctions between experiences of Black women and other women of color, and with those of Black men and men of color. It also explores the ways in which women's experiences of policing take forms short of fatal force, and how they are uniquely informed by race, nation, gender, gender identity and expression, sexual orientation, poverty, disability, and mental health. Drawing on individual stories and existing research, Invisible No More identifies broader patterns and paradigms of policing that drive police violence against Black women and women of color, unmasks the continuing operation of controlling narratives of Black women and women of color rooted in colonialism and slavery in police interactions, and asks what these experiences teach us about manifestations of structural racism.